This is Renovating Masculinity. To become authentic, great men, we must intentionally build ourselves to be a place of safety and protection for others.
Each week, JT, Anthony, and myself, Chris, will challenge you to rethink old habits so you can remove thoughts that hinder you and replace them with actions that strengthen you as a man.
So let's get to work.
All right. Hey, Ben, how do you like Anthony just coming straight in and just saying,
I don't like the EQ of my mic. It's I have my own personal settings.
Hey, yeah, get it right.
Brother,
I'm just saying.
Brother Ben Gone comes back already demanding, like a diva.
A Devo. That's a Devo, bro.
No, I meant diva. That's exactly what I meant.
I know what you meant. I'm trying to be nice because I don't want to get into it. First episode back, you and I in the room together, and you want to start fighting in front of visitors right away.
I know, but you've been gone. I haven't been able to talk to you. I mean, I've got all this pent up.
It's
been lonely.
Almost every other day, dude. You've had plenty of time to unpent up stuff.
So, look, we're on a mic, and you just put something in your mouth chewing. What? This is so unprofessional.
So, we have a new supporter, and I'd like to go ahead and talk about that product now.
Oh, boy.
No. I'm eating a protein bar. It's a good one, man. It's from Costco.
Oh, God. I hate that thing. Anyway, we have Anthony, of course. He's back. He was gone because I know he's a proud father. His daughter was in the Junior Olympics in Houston, Texas last week.
Yeah, man.
And she did how many? She's track and field. So how many disciplines did she do last week?
Yeah, so here's the thing, man. She ended up, she got into a new discipline, which is heptathlon, about 5 months ago from ground zero. So she's learning all these disciplines. She doesn't have any idea what she's doing. So she's just kind of going on her athletic ability and wanting to do something that was fun. And she ended up winning the regionals in heptathlon for females.
Wow.
And so that was pretty cool. And so last minute, we find out that we're going to be going back to the Junior Olympics. She was able to qualify a couple of years ago. And so we went back. So she qualified in heptathlon, also the 4x100. And so she got a chance to go and do that. And then we get there. We're all excited, man. We go. The stay, JT, was 10 days. Wow. Actually, 11 days. And it ran along the same cycle as the Olympics. And she gets there. And so her first event was a 100-meter hurdles. She gets out real fast. She's in front of the girls. She drags her foot on the first hurdle, hurts her leg, and she never recovers, like, mentally, the whole trip, dude. So she does a couple more events in heptathlon and doesn't do well. So the coach pulls her out and tells her to rest because he wants her to be ready for the 4x100. And so that was a change of events, man, and I think it hit her pretty good mentally.
Yeah.
To have the little injury right at the beginning. But they did a little better than halfway out of 60 teams. They did a little better than halfway on the 4x100.
That's good for this, taking it up 5 months ago and not really knowing her potential yet. And
yeah.
I think that every man listening has the same question that I have, obviously, is that, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at you, and I kind of know, you know, your past, and where does she get her athletic ability?
Yeah, I don't know how those two things tie together. You looking at me,
uh-huh,
and then being curious about my daughter's athletic ability. Can you dig into that? Because I'm not certain I understand the question yet.
I think that just proved my point a little bit. You're oblivious to
you're pathetic. You're pathetic. try at an insult. Am I oblivious to that?
Oh, gosh.
She is an offspring of her mom.
That's
she
exactly
is.
Right.
I'll admit it. Her mom was in everything, volleyball, basketball, track. I mean, I will mention it again. She was a marksman in the military. She likes for me to always remember that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
and I know that you did run track. It was just, however, when the police were after
you.
So,
I tell everybody, man, I ran all the time.
Yeah,
when I was
time.
Growing up,
you were fast. Obviously,
absolutely.
They only caught you once.
Yeah, and not only did I run, I ran, I jumped, and I ducked. So
man, I'm
athletic.
You know, maybe I spoke too soon. Maybe I didn't put those two and two together of how. Yeah, because I know the DFW police are pretty fast.
Yeah, dude, I was on a more policemen's dashboards than their own kids.
That is funny.
Yeah, dude.
How long you been waiting to say that?
Oh man, I see it all the time.
I do. Okay.
Yeah, but it's actually true.
I guarantee it's true.
Well, I'll tell you a story later.
Okay. Yeah. So, welcome back, Anthony. It is good to have you.
Thanks,
back.
Man.
Yeah, and we don't
it's
have
good to be back.
Yeah, we don't have Chris today. He's out doing his family stuff.
Yeah,
busy man.
I walked in, man, and I was sweating. Man, it kind of feels like being on a first date. Man, I'm walking in. I'm like, man, don't say anything stupid. Get there on time. Is your shirt cool? I had a stain on my shirt, and I got the stain off my shirt. I just wanted to present the best side of me. And I walk in, and JT immediately starts insulting my athletic ability. So
yeah,
it was a waste.
No, it's welcome back.
Thanks, man.
I mean, just wanted everything to be normal. Hey, what about all the stuff going on right now? Usually we don't talk about current events or, you know, stuff like that, but it did make me think of a subject I did want to talk about today.
What is that?
It just seems so polarizing right now.
What does?
Just our country in general. It's like everybody's taking sides and digging in, whether you're mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, for Cuomo, against Cuomo. I mean, it just seems polarizing. And there's going to come a moment to where we're going to have to come together. If we don't, then we're doomed.
Yeah.
And coming together means that because I was at a meeting, or I watched a meeting last night, a school board meeting.
And I know what you watched.
Listen, it was just crazy. But you could tell both sides are very passionate. Both sides feel like they have science on their side.
This was a school board meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was about, you know, mandatory mask or no mask. Yeah. So, and I got my thoughts on that. But,
sure.
But my point is that it just seems like you cannot have a conversation where you're at least trying to think through everything. It seems that if I take the side, and I'm not going to tell you where I stand because it's none of your dang business.
I'll tell you later.
But let's say that I was on the side that I believe everybody needs to be masked. I've seen people super passionate to the point of insult and to the point of when you start saying you're killing my kids or stuff like that. Again, no matter what you think about it, but when you get to that point, there is going to have to come a time to where there's going to have to be some forgiveness or we're going to stay polarized, and that's, you can't heal unless you forgive. So as a nation, as a country, and even in our area here, and we live outside of Nashville, Tennessee, is that at some point, man, we have to come together and go, you know what, no matter what you think, because we can always disagree, but man, I need to respect and honor that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, I can hope, I can dream.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, as men, we talk to mostly men.
Yeah.
Guys, we cannot get caught up to where we take a side so deeply that we start demeaning others for not believing the same way we believe.
You know that meeting you were referring to? Did you notice, man, that when the ability to express the opinion with facts or things that were important or passionate, when those things begin to dissipate and go away and they were running out of facts, did you see where the threats started as far as I'll take my money away?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I won't support you anymore. And it's kind of like that, man, when we're one-on-one, when we're talking with people, you know, we start off with that two or three things that we've been loaded for, those couple of facts, and we run out of those, I think that people just go, okay, then I'll insult you and I'll call you stupid. And it diminishes just like that meeting did, because it started off, you know, just passionate arguments, people talking, and then all of a sudden it's turned into, well, I won't give you this money and I'll take away your funding on that and you won't be able to do this, so I'm going to compel you, not with my ideas, not with my opinions, not with facts, not with science that everybody was, you know, so tuned up about, but I'm going to compel you with a threat.
Yeah, and even, you know, I've seen some guys, when I say guys, I mean people, but I just say guys all the time. But, you know, people on social media especially say, man, just come on, get the vaccine, you know. And it's like, again, I'm not telling you where I stand on that, but I do go, man, if I were a guy that was anti-vax, which I'm not anti-vax, I'll let you know that much.
Yeah.
But if I was a guy that was anti-vax, and you told me to get the vaccine, and I got, and say that you somehow persuaded me on social media, which would never happen, by the way, but and something happened to my kid and died because I listened to you, are you, what? How would that guy respond to that, being so emphatic about just get the dang vaccine? You know, it's like that's the answer for everything that we're going through, which is proven, by the way, not to be the answer because we're still in it. I mean, we're still, it's spiking right now. So, I, again, at some point, and again, I'm talking to you, man, we have to not be extreme. This is what I'm going to get to. We can't afford to be extreme. Getting extreme separates. And I've seen this destroy families. I mean, what I do, you know, I've talked to a lot of families. I mean, there's been some serious wedges put in some relationships that I don't know if they'll ever recover because they've, you know, again, listened to outside sources. Because, you know, most people say, you know, they read a tweet and then all of a sudden they're a dang expert.
Yeah, it's the news.
Yeah, it's like, it's okay, just the news. You read 140 characters and now all of a sudden, or you clicked on a link and read half of an article and didn't get down to the bottom and didn't read the whole thing and you just form an opinion. And most people form an opinion or they find articles that support what they want to believe.
Yeah.
And again, we all do it. The algorithms on social media, if you don't know anything about that, you should know, because if they'll, it's like, I said this to somebody the other day, I love that social media algorithms cannot figure me out. I mean, I look at stuff on both extremes.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. So yeah. I know that they're confused about, and I want them to be confused because I do want to know both sides. I mean, I can't do what I do and just be extremely opinionated publicly,
yeah,
so to speak.
It's crazy too, man, when somebody sends you an article or something trying to support their point, and they've only, you can tell that they only read the headline, because if had they read the article, they realize that the headline was being facetious.
Yep.
And the article is actually supporting the other side.
Yep.
And that's so funny, man, that people are just headline junkies, man. And literally it becomes their way of coming to a truth.
Yeah.
Just whatever they find in the headlines. And I mean, if you Google a subject, I mean, you can find both sides of it, thousands of headlines that,
oh, gosh,
that go both ways.
I've listened to doctors on both sides.
Yeah.
And I looked at an article the other day that a doctor from Johns Hopkins wrote. This is not a, this is not
fly by night.
Yeah. You know, a comment on, and somebody shared it, and I was just reading the comments, and this person said, well, I don't believe that. It was like, okay. you know, and this happened to be a stay home mom probably. And it was like, okay. So, you're not going to believe a Johns Hopkins, but now
you tell me to believe the science. You tell me to follow the science.
Well, the science that they agree with.
Yeah.
So again, and I'm not here to debate science because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist.
But you got an opinion.
But I'm just I have an opinion. But I'm just saying that as guys, as men, we need to be careful, because it just becomes an offense. Right now, you've offended me because you don't believe like I do.
Yeah.
Or you've offended me that you don't see my side, you know, or if you do see my side, you're just dug into your side. So now we're just two people dug in and nobody's moving. And relationally, I mean, that just doesn't, it never works out well. I mean, again, Anthony's African American.
I'm black.
Yeah, there you go. and, I'm European white. I guess I don't even know what I am. But, I mean, we grew up differently. There's a lot of things that we think differently about. There's a lot of life experiences that we have that are drastically different, that have molded us into thinking the way that we think. But yet we go, you know what? At the end of the day, none of that really matters, because we're going to focus on what we have in common more than what we don't have in common. And that's how you become... I can listen to you, even though I may disagree with you, but I can listen to you because I've learned to humanize you and respect you.
Yeah.
And go, yeah, you know what? I may not agree with that, but man, I can see your point.
Yeah, sure.
So, I think we're losing that art.
You know, I know too, JT, like when you're talking to people and they hear one of those words like mask or vax or shut down, all those kinds of things, it doesn't matter even, or they don't even give you a chance to have context around that comment, because they start fighting a battle that they've decided that they're going to fight.
Yeah.
And they're not really listening to the conversation that you're having. Because I was telling somebody, man, that just when COVID happened, I felt like that it really brought to the forefront people's ability to see that things that we thought that we couldn't do without,
yeah,
all of a sudden that we could.
Yeah.
That arguments and relationships really gathered momentum, and people felt like that it was more important to support each other and love each other and forgive each other, all those kinds of things, than it was to fight and bicker, because we saw something bleak in front of us, and it made us be able to kind of focus on what was really important. And most people that were, you know, at home during that time, they said they got a chance to focus in on what was really important in their homes and yeah. really important in their families. And so there's this been this air, even with a like civility towards strangers and all this stuff. And it's been enjoyable for me, man. I'm a guy that likes the happy ending in the movie, and mm-hmm. it should end the way that it should. And now that it's beginning to fade, man, honestly, JT, I'm a little sad about it, man.
Yeah.
And even while we were out of town, you know, the mask mandates came back, and I had to put a mask back on. And this is not a political statement one way or the other, but wearing a mask, it makes me sad.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make me happy mm-hmm. that I have to wear a mask.
Yeah, I don't think anybody enjoys wearing a mask.
I mean,
it's not something that anybody enjoys doing.
Yeah.
If they did, they would do it without a mask mandate.
Right. So I mentioned that, and then somebody starts hitting me with, you know, with the political, you know, whole shebang. And I'm like, I'm not fighting one way or the other for it. Like, this is not a vax statement. This is not a pro-mask statement, or, you know, it's just me saying, man, putting this on just freaking makes me sad, man.
And people hear you say something and they run it through their filter. Yeah, they don't,
which is crazy.
Yeah, they don't take it how you meant it.
Yeah.
And that's so dangerous. But it's like I foresee this coming, so I want to help guys get ready for this, because there's going to come a moment, because there are so many, it's so easy to be offended right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I can offend anybody at any, which I do
quite
often.
It seems like it's the goal to be offended right now.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
How can I, on the grounds of, well, I'm just standing up for my, or my truth. I hate that, by the way.
Yeah.
Everybody says my truth. But, so, you know, offenses are everywhere, not a fence. I know you're from Dallas. You could have heard a fence, like it's in my backyard, but it's
like the ones I used to have to jump when I was running from the aforementioned
police. You are just revealing all kinds of things. So here's the picture that I want to give everybody.
All right.
An offense. How do you deal with an offense? So the word, the Greek word for that, scandalon, is the word for offense. Now, if you will picture for me a bear trap, get a bear trap in your mind, those gnarly claws, you pry it open, you lock it in place, and then there's a plate right in the middle of it that you set the bait on. That plate is called a scandalon. Mm. So whenever you take an offense, it's like you're setting, or an offense, let me say it this way, an offense is a bait set on top of that plate. And when you take the bait, when you get offended so easily, what happens? The bear trap shuts, and now you're caught.
You're stuck in that place.
And you know why? Because they chain the trap to a tree mm-hmm. so the bear can't run off.
Yep.
So when you become so offended, or when you take the bait of offense, it not only is meant to trap you, it's meant to capture you and not let you go. Yeah.
And keep you in one place.
So now you're tethered
to
an event.
Man, that's good. That is a great word.
It's a great
historical
word.
Kind of.
But this, you wonder why that you, when you walk around with unforgiveness or hatred or bitterness, because you know, you can be unforgiving, and after you've not forgiven for a while and you think about that person and you get mad, and then you start kind of writing history a little bit and making it more your side, right? I mean, people do that all the time. We will rewrite history in a minute to make our story better.
It's like when you're discussing with your parents some punishment that you got, and you're going, remember, and I hadn't done anything, and you beat me, or you punished me, or you took my phone, or you mm-hmm. did this. And they go, you didn't get a whipping. You didn't get a spanking that time.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, I did. No, you didn't.
No.
And you create your own truth.
That's exactly right. And that's why when people say, well, this is my truth. Well, okay, I get it, but it may not be the truth. When I sit down with couples, married couples that are going through, you know, some difficult times, I always tell them there's three truths sitting in front of us. Or actually, I've changed it now. I used to say that. Now I say there's two perspectives and one truth. There's your perspective, his perspective, and then there's a truth somewhere that we're going to find, because you can't build on something that's false. If you build on something that's false, it will, at some point, it's going to fall, and it's going to, when another storm of life comes, it's going to knock all that down. So
a fence.
Yeah, a fence. And what happens, just think, now again, this is a picture that I want you to take. When those claws of that bear trap close down, the longer it stays, the more poison the blood becomes, because it's infection. That's bitterness. And the crazy thing about an offense is you can't get out of that trap alone.
Mm.
You have to have somebody come help you. And whether that's a brother or a wife, and usually it comes through, and here's a hard word for guys to not just hear but do, is confess to somebody that you were wrong, or at least wrong on your part. This is because you can't take responsibility for somebody else's actions. You can only take responsibility for yours. But you can say, you know what? I let this go too long, and I need to forgive. And here's the story. And maybe I've rewritten this history a little bit. And I'm just going to be, here's another word, humble.
That's a curse word.
I got to be humble enough to just accept that I was wrong.
Yeah.
And it seems like that is so far out of the picture right now of what that I don't even know if it can take place on a larger scale. So let's forget about the larger scale and let's just talk about our individual lives. So there's areas in all of our lives that we are walking with an offense. Now, unless you have done a lot of work, maybe met with a counselor or a therapist or whatever, or a pastor or whoever, and you've realized that, you know, I've got some stuff in me that's poisoning my life.
Yeah.
And I need some help. Man, unless you've done that, you probably got somebody, either your dad, your mom, an uncle, an aunt, a friend. I mean, somebody that's done you wrong and that you've not really forgiven them. I heard a guy once say one time, how do you know if you've forgiven a person or not? And he said this. He goes, just when you hear the person's name, what's the first thing you think?
Hmm.
And that's a good indicator of whether you have forgiven them or not. Stephen Mansfield, he's got a quote that I love. Says, the very fact that we have the desire for justification, right? I'm desiring justice because I've been done wrong, is a sign that we feel there is a debt to be paid.
Yeah.
The very desire we carry for those who have wronged us to pay their debt is the sign that we haven't forgiven. I'm going to read it one more time all the way through. The very fact that we have this desire for justification is a sign that we feel there is a debt to be paid. The very desire we carry for those who have wronged us to pay their debt is the sign that we haven't forgiven. And I just think that there's going to come a time where not everybody's going to do this, obviously, but the men that listen to us, I'm asking, please don't let unforgiveness turn into bitterness, because it turns into anger. You will not find any peace in life whatsoever. Because it's interesting, when the infection happens, when the bear claw clamps down, it just doesn't stay in that one location. It goes through the whole bloodstream.
Yeah.
So it will affect your entire life. And there are guys listening right now that you're offended by your wife, you're offended by a friend who thinks differently than you. And no matter whether you think you have all the science or you have all the everything you need loaded in a gun and you're just going to fire at them, there's going to come a point, because what you put out is going to come back to you.
So, JT, is it easier to be the person that's offended, or the person that has to graciously deal, or maybe ungraciously deal, with the person that's offended? you know, it's, I think both sides of that are difficult.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's tough to be the offended, and I think it's tough to be the person that's looking in and going, this person is like maybe unjustified in their being offended. Because I'm thinking of that bear trap. Mm-hmm. So you bring up this bear trap. Bear traps are built too in a cool way that there's not enough of that bear trap there for you to get leverage and get out of it. Like it's only the necessities that are built there, the spring and the mm-hmm. claws. Mm-hmm. And there's like not a long handle on it where you could grab it and get some leverage and kind of open it up on yourself. All those kinds of things. It's built for someone to have to help get whatever is in there mm-hmm. out of it. So it's built in the way that it takes cooperation. It's also, when you get caught in something like that, there's a tremendous amount of pain.
Absolutely.
Pain makes you not be able to comprehend things or think through things, because all you can really think about is the pain, the current pain that's happening. You mentioned the illness that kind of comes on, the sickness from mm-hmm. that bear trap. It begins to infect the blood. Blood messes with your mental faculties. It's the same way with this offense that's come in. It begins to mess with all these things. So as I'm walking by and I go, hey, JT, it looks like you're offended, or it looks like you're caught in the bear trap. I mean, you don't want to look at me and just go, yeah, I'm caught in the bear trap.
Yeah.
So it's going to take some grace on my side to even begin to deal with you, even though I'm looking at you going, how stupid is that offense? So this whole dynamic of people being offended and people looking in and seeing them offended, man, it's a big discussion on how both sides of that handle it. And then even the person that's in the trap, somebody walks by and notes that you're in the trap, but you're so pissed off about your foolishness to get in it that you don't even want to acknowledge that you're in the trap. And it makes you look like your argument is useless then, because you won't even acknowledge the first piece of yeah. truth is that you're in a trap.
Or you spend so much time taking, and again, using the same picture, taking brush and limbs and stuff to cover your, you do a lot of work to cover it, when it takes a lot less work just to ask to get out of it. So we spend so much time trying to hide and cover up an offense. And here's the reason why that's important, is because you will never, listen to me very closely, I mean, turn your radio up right now. You will never.
You just dated yourself, radio.
What should I say? I
mean, we're listening to a podcast. I mean,
what are you listening? Oh, yeah, that's right. Turn up. I should hear, let me say this. Turn up your volume.
Yeah, there you go.
You will never, ever reach your full destination when you're trapped. Ever. So all this potential, all these things that you have inside of you, all these big dreams that you have, you will only go as far as that chain will allow. That's it. Because you're always tethered to that event. And that event can ruin you. And again, I'm speaking, one, out of experience, two, out of hundreds of people, if not thousands of men that I've talked to throughout the last decade. And most of the issues that they are dealing with, I've tried to find where they've not forgiven somebody. It is amazing how that journey, or that, you know, looking into somebody's life and they go, man, you know, my dad wasn't there. I mean, and there's an unforgiveness there. It's like the moment that they release that, you know what, I'm done with, you know, I didn't realize it, their life changes. And I can say 100% of the time.
Yes.
It's 100% of the time that that's happened. So that's why it's important to me that if you're offended, if you don't have peace in your life, and you look at your life and things are not going the way you want them to go, it's like, take a moment, stop, quiet all the rhetoric that's going on, and search your soul, search your heart, search your mind. Are you still harboring unforgiveness for somebody?
Okay, so JT, offense is what we're talking about, mm-hmm. how it can be diminishing and deadly and cost you energy. And I'll start with, I agree with you when you hold these offenses, because you're not realizing it, but you're constantly, it's like you're holding, you know, 100-pound weight over your head, and you've gotten so used to holding it over your head
that
it's manageable now. Like, literally, you can walk around and it's no problem. But if somebody were to reach over and grab that and take it from you, you would go, whew,
I didn't know I was carrying that.
Yeah, that is a relief. And that's oversimplified, man, but I've had moments in my life, man, where I refuse to forgive people or continue to be offended. And when it was finally gone, it is that moment of relief where, man, I was packing this thing around.
You didn't know.
So that is real. But let's say this, man. Is there a place for offense? Is there a time when things are happening around you and it is appropriate to be offended?
I don't know if it's appropriate to be offended. It is appropriate to have an opinion. It's appropriate to go, I don't, you know, or, yeah, look, okay. I have a very good friend. His wife, it wasn't his wife at the time, but she was brutally raped. Okay? How dumb. Well, I'm not offended at that. Heck yeah, I'm offended at that. I want to kill that guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a appropriate response. I mean, there is a righteous anger. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you can be unrighteously angry or you can be righteously angry. I get upset when I see people destroying their own life, right? And I know that I have the answer actually for you.
Yeah.
Right? I don't get offended to the point where I get trapped because I'm realizing that people have decisions.
Yeah.
People have choice. And most of the time, 99.9% of the time, their choices don't affect my life. And we almost get offended because we think that everybody's choices somehow affects my life. Whether you, again, going back to our, whether you believe mass, no mass, facts, back, whatever, that's not going to really affect my life.
Yeah.
But I treat it like it's just the worst thing on the planet that you don't agree with me. So I think that there's appropriate places where we can have righteous anger and indignation and fight for something, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is the relationships that we have that tether us to something and we're not reaching our full potential.
So Ken,
that's the difference that I'm...
Yeah.
I
do.
Okay.
So I set you up a little bit because I want to disagree with you because I don't know that there is an appropriate time to be offended if... You know how they say...
I'm offended right now.
You know how they say elections have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, words have meaning. So if I assign a word to a feeling that I'm having that is the inappropriate word, I begin to play out that description of whatever that word is. So if I'm hurt, but I say that I'm angry, I'll begin to behave as though I'm angry and not as though I'm hurt. And in the instance here of offense, now that I know the definition to offense... I don't know that it's ever a good idea for someone to look, perceive a bait that is in a dangerous place, and I know that if I go and grab that bait and become offended, that mm-hmm. it's going to trap me in a bear trap and hold me there and put me in pain and keep me tethered to this thing where I won't have any freedom on my own. And not only that, it's going to make me sick. I don't know that there's an appropriate time to ever go and reach into that bear trap. So I need to be careful about what I say I am.
Yeah, the point is that, look, you're going to do it. This is the point. You're going to do it. Everybody gets offended, but get out of it quickly, right? And it goes back to be humble. Go to that person. Go, you know what? You offended me, but, man, I apologize. I didn't – and try to understand where they're coming from. That way you get out of the trap quick. What I'm talking about – again, what I'm talking about is people who stay there, tethered there – hold people to a standard that they're unwilling to live themselves, demanding everybody else forgive them or, you know, not hold stuff against them, but yet they're unwilling to do it. That's what I'm talking about as far as the longevity of staying inside this unforgiveness and not getting out of it quickly. Now, we also know that the deeper the pain, the harder it is to forgive. Like if I really do something to your wife or your daughter or your son, okay, if I do something bad, I mean, it's going to take a while for you to walk through that forgiveness.
Sure.
So forgiveness is a process. Just be in the process. Don't stay stagnant. Don't camp out because that's when that bitterness and that infection and all that starts setting in. The longer you stay, the more infected you are. It's just practical, logical thinking. So... even when you do get offended, because I'm not saying we don't get offended. We're all human. I'm just saying get out of it quickly. As quickly as you possibly can, get out of it. And there is a way to get out of it. We'll end with this because I don't want to go too long. being offended is a choice. You get to choose whether you're offended or not. Nobody makes that choice for you. You're the one that took the bait. Because whoever gets on the plate is the one who took the bait. How do you like that?
Yeah.
So I can't do that for you. You do that yourself. And so you have to realize that this is a choice that I made, so it's a choice that I can unmake.
There's a bunch of meat left on this bone, JT, and I know you're pushing us to end, man. But, man, offense, and how do I train myself to get past offense? And I'm thinking about maybe the same way that we train anything else, weight training or babies walking. I mean, we start with something that's not as difficult,
right,
and we move on to more difficult things. And there's a good place to practice, man. I mean, just in traffic. I mean, because
boy, there's a lot of opportunity for offenses.
Because there's some very small things that can happen in traffic.
Yeah.
Somebody can make you wait longer than you should to change lanes, and they go ahead and pass you
mm-hmm.
when they could have slowed up and let you over. Or somebody can cut you off and you're just mad, or somebody keeps going through a yellow light and you think they should have stopped. Like, there's a ton of these small offenses that you can perceive mm-hmm. and just hang on to them. And you can be driving 30 minutes later and still thinking about this dude that didn't let you over. And maybe if somebody's in the car with you, even talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
And so how do we get in this habit of you know, getting over offenses? I'm going to say one practical thing is, man, begin, you know, there was this movement, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of years ago.
Yeah.
And one of the things is, man, that's a great place to practice, you know, get your chops is in traffic, man. Begin to decide, hey, I am not going to hang on to this thing, because you've been that other person too. You've been in a hurry and you've stopped somebody from getting over. You've done all those kinds of things. And you know, as we are offended, man, I think it's important for us to be able to look at that other person with grace and mercy, man. And like I said, there's a lot of meat left on this bone, man, but we haven't talked about that, how we perceive the other person, the one that's offended, or how the offended person perceives the person that offended them. Because I had a personal experience just yesterday where I found out that someone that I trust, that is kind of inside of my circle of trust, has said some derogatory things about me. And they are, in my opinion, very unfair, because I've gone out of my way to help this person
mm-hmm.
Be more substantially taken care of and make their life better and those kinds of things. I've taking on things myself to help them, and to find that person has said these things, you know, immediately, man, I'm like, yeah, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to fix this. And I won't have to deal with this feeling again, because I'm going to make sure that there's separation between you and I, that I'm not going to do things that I'm not called to do for you that are in my authority to do. Got it done. Like, immediately, I made all these decisions.
Yeah. Immediately.
Because it pissed me off and I'm offended.
Yeah.
And rightly so in my head, but then what do I do with that?
Yeah. You got to start working on your chops in traffic, I guess.
Yeah, man. And that's what I'm saying, man. These moments are every day.
Every day. Every day. Every day you have a choice to be offended or not. And it's funny, the traffic, I mean, it's a great idea, because here's what's funny. We do it too, and we justify ours because we were running late or it's an important, but when somebody else does it, we judge them based on how it affects us and not think about them, go, wonder if they're in a hurry, wonder if they're late to a job interview, wonder if they're, we don't give them the grace that we want people to give us when we're doing it. Or maybe we're just jerks and don't care.
And perspective. Sometimes it's safer for that person to speed up, not let you over, and get past you and let you get over, than it is for them to slam on their brakes because you just threw on your blinker.
Sure.
There's so many perspectives to all of this stuff. But if I hear something from you that I disagree with without bothering to have a conversation with you, then I'm constantly, man, caught in error, in my opinion. And I'm walking around with this offense, but I don't even have enough information to be truly offended.
Yeah, and here's a good practice that not all things I do are a good practice, but this is a good practice. So I can get offended, and when I mean offended, I can get upset. Let's differentiate. You know, there's an offense and there's just kind of upset with something. I've learned that if I get upset at something, if I disagree with their point of view and they're just really being, you know, hardcore about it, and I get, my blood boils. You know, your blood boiling and an offense is two different things, okay? I can get angry and not be offended. But I've learned 24 hours, I ain't saying anything. I'm not going to respond. I'm just going to give myself time for my mind to remind me of all the things that I've been forgiven for and that I didn't deserve to be forgiven for, yet somebody forgave me for that. So I'm learning to just breathe, take my time, don't respond. I mean, I have deleted so many things on social media because somebody said something that listen, there have been people that have said things on social media that I knew 100% was untrue because I was there. 100% untrue. And it just took everything in me to go, because that justice part that we all have, I want justice. No, let's just say it like it is. And I had to realize that, you know what? What they're putting out is going to come back to them. What you sow is what you reap. And that's not my job to be the one that feeds them what they've sown. That will come back to them. Not as fast as I want it to sometimes, but man, it just seems like it always comes around. It's like, oh, okay, because you did that, this is what's happening to you.
Yeah.
And you did that to yourself. And that's why, I mean, it's a choice. Everything is a choice. So I can be hard-nosed. I can be blunt. I can be offensive. I can be ungracious. I can be all of those things, but I can't be mad when those things are returned to me.
Yeah.
And people are. People get mad because
they get the same thing.
They get the same thing. It's the biggest, I'm going to say it, it's the biggest hypocrites on the planet.
Yeah, it makes you look like a baby.
Absolutely.
You get mad, but you don't want the other person to get mad. But before you get, I see you winding up.
Oh, yeah.
JT, is it more often that we get offended by strangers or people that are loosely connected or people that are closely connected and that you have a relationship with?
In my opinion, we get offended by both, but I can let somebody that I don't know very well, because that's not he doesn't know me, I don't know him, and that's not a very, you know, okay, mm-hmm. Well, whatever, you know. Now, somebody that's close to me,
yep.
Now that's a whole different, that's a different ball game.
Yeah.
But that's what again, this is very much a self-awareness issue. You have to be so self-aware that you have caused pain to others, that you've given them the ability and the chance to be as offended at you as you are at somebody else. You have to realize that.
That's the danger of the offense, man. Just what you just said, that it happens on both sides. But those people that are far away, you probably don't hold on to it as long. But those people who are close or nearby or people that you've invested in, when they offend you, those are the ones that are more difficult to get over. And those relationships are actually valuable to you, and you're destroying them by holding on to offense.
Correct.
So you're losing the thing that's important to you by holding on to this offense, but you can't see it in that moment.
Right.
See, like I said, this is a difficult subject, JT, because it is those people that are closer to you, when they offend you, that you hide that in your heart, mm-hmm. and you refuse to let it go.
Yeah, or you tell them and they don't respond how you want them to respond, mm-hmm. you know, because you have this worked up how this is going to go.
Yeah, they're going to say, I'm sorry, I see exactly what you mean right now. Forgive me, that was wrong considering our history, blah, blah, blah. But that's not going to happen.
And that's where I say forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about you. When you forgive, forgive no matter the response. Right? I don't even come with an expectation that they have to forgive me. Because that's up to them, and they're going to live in the pain of that, right? I'm just choosing to go, you know what, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not staying in this trap. And that's what I mean. It's my choice. It's my choice to stay trapped or not. The other thing, by the way, that we have to realize is that if you choose not to have the courage to forgive, even when the other person doesn't deserve it, now that's another subject. Even when the other person doesn't deserve it, it's you that's in captivity, not them, right?
Yeah.
So you could offend me, but you're not offended. You're walking around free. I'm stuck in a dang bear trap tied to a tree, and I can only go as far as that chain will allow, and I'm mad at you. So, but yet I'm the one that's in captivity.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that has no peace. There's no rest, really. There's no rest in my mind.
No.
There's no moving, forging ahead in my purpose. It's just I'm tethered right here. So when you realize that, is you go, I'm, here's the crazy thing. You're allowing that person to have power over you.
Yeah.
And they don't even know it, but you've given it to them. I mean, you're absolutely going, you have all this power over me because you're keeping me right here.
Power and authority.
And authority. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't know where it started, but when you said that, man, I don't think there's anywhere in the last 20 or 30 years that I actually decided in my heart to forgive somebody because I thought they deserved it. Mm. Like, I never think that. Like, especially when people piss me off and it's time for me to forgive them. Like, I don't know that I ever just go, man, you know,
yeah,
that person deserves to be forgiven. I mean, they're pretty awesome. I never do that. The reason that I do it, one, is it's built on my faith.
Yep.
So my faith always drives me towards that. But I've learned also from experience, man, it's the same way when I take a cold drink of water and it's hot outside, man, I enjoy that. So the next time I'm outside and it's hot, I know that if I go get a cold drink of water, I'm going to enjoy it. Man, forgiveness is similar to that for me in my life, man. And I've had many opportunities to hope for forgiveness from people because I am easily to hate.
Yeah,
I've told people that before, and I realize that I need a lot of grace and mercy, man. So I'm always constantly trying to extend that to people, man, and it's difficult.
It is.
But what I will say, man, is I never forgive people because somehow in my heart I go, they deserve that.
Yeah.
I always know, one, it's just I'm a big fan of doing the right thing because it's the right thing.
All right.
I know that I'm holding them captive in some situation somehow, even in my own heart, by not forgiving them. I'm holding myself captive about not forgiving them, and I'm holding on to a weight that I don't need to be packing around because there's plenty for me to pack around in life.
Yeah.
And anything that I can give back to life and let it carry on as its own, I want to do that. So normally when I forgive people, JT, I'm doing it because it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And it is wasted energy on my behalf. But that is difficult, man. I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah, you know, and I've been working on kind of a personal mission statement, just if trying to sum me up in my own head, which is difficult. And anybody who's gone through trying to write a mission statement for themselves understands it's just a very, how do you sum up what you want to do? And right, and this is not the final probably, but like right now where I'm at is I simply want to help build great men. I mean, at the end of the day, that's it. I want to be a part of the project, so to speak, in building great men. And I know from experience that this subject keeps men from being great more than any other subject I know. It's like I almost deal with it with every guy. And it doesn't matter in their business. It doesn't matter in their personal. It doesn't matter what they want to achieve. I go here first. I've learned to go here first so that he makes room and makes way that this is not, you know, because you're talking about getting really upset, work really hard and get to a certain point and realize that you're tethered to something in your past and now you got to go back and you have to deal with this. I mean, that is frustrating because, and again, if you want to start with forgiveness, that's when you start forgiving yourself for allowing yourself to be caught in that. I mean, self-forgiveness is huge because most people don't think about it, but it is a big deal to forgive yourself so you don't have regret later.
So you could possibly be building on offense and then get 10 years down the road and have to go back to that place of offense and tear down everything.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned foundations, and it's the same way that you've first story was great. Building went up, but that second story offense came in. So you didn't really pay attention to the way that you put, what is that, the joist and all that?
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
You didn't really pay attention to it. And then you get to the peak of the house and you go, all of the second floor has got to come off.
Yeah, because here's the deal. The higher you go, the more stress is put on whatever foundation you build.
Mm. Ooh, that's a good thing for leaders.
Right.
Say that again.
So the higher you go,
yeah,
the more stress and weight you put on the foundation which you've built. And that's the only way that a failure can be found, right? I shouldn't say the only way, one of the top ways. So that's what I mean. You can go so far in life, but at some point, if you have unforgiveness, you will go right back to where that offense happened, and you will have to deal with it. And most guys realize it when it starts costing them something, that I didn't know it was going to cost me this. So then they start back, and that's when they come into my office. Like, okay, I need help. because they don't know. Why can't I get past this point? Why do I even self-sabotage my own success sometimes? Why do I? And you start, I mean, again, first thing, let's start talking about unforgiveness. Who in your life has hurt you? Like we do an exercise. You've done it before with me. It's like write down your top 10 pains in life. Just write them down. Go all the way back to elementary school. And most of that is because something that somebody did to you.
All of them almost for me. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, let's start there. It's a great exercise. Guys, listen, man. Do it. Just list out the top 10 pains. First girlfriend break up with you. I mean, that's a pain. That's a trauma, right? It's like, man, that kind of hurt me. You know, write those down and just go, did you forgive that person? Did you forgive that? And just start thinking about it. The first three or four are pretty easy to write down because you've been thinking about it so much. But, man, you start getting down to these little bitty ones. He's like, man, I hadn't thought about this in years. Yeah, but it's still affecting you.
And ask yourself some other questions. Do any of these offenses drive me at all in any way right now?
Or have they changed? Like, do they make me think wrongly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is my thinking off because I built something on this thought? That, well, this person hurt me like this, so nobody's going to ever do that again. And then you start altering your life so nobody ever hurts you again. But yet, that was the direction you needed to go in order to fulfill everything you've been put on this earth to fulfill. So that's what guys start realizing. It's like, man, I let this pull me off course.
Can I tell you something before we end?
Yeah.
Man, you know, one of the greatest, like, disappointments in me is when I trust somebody and they betray me. Mm-hmm. And I can track it back to, man, having a friend, you know, when I was at a young age. I didn't find this out until later, but he had actually plotted to kill me, you know. And to know.
That's a good friend, isn't
it? Yeah, man. To know that this is somebody in my inner circle that at the same time they were actually plotting to kill me because they wanted something that I possessed. And, you know, and to find that out later, man, that broke me, man. And mm-hmm. and I won't say that it broke my heart, but I think that it did break my heart, especially towards relationships. And I didn't trust people in close relationships for a lot of years after that, because I said, there's no way that you can be as close as these two people were, me and this other person, and still there is this hidden part, this hidden agenda available to them to express mm-hmm. and to betray you. And ultimate betrayal is to kill you, you know. And so that's why, man, even in life right now, man, that moments happen where I find that people close to me in my head have betrayed me. They're so impactful for me. I mean, it's just, and this person, man, I feel in my heart that I've forgiven them, but I'm still gun shy at that opportunity that people have for me.
Yeah. Because we think that, and I when you were saying that, I was reminded of, you know, sometimes we think forgiveness is a feeling. So we base it on, I don't feel like forgiving because of what this person did to me. Yeah. But that's, it's not a feeling. It's an action that no matter how I feel, I know that this is the right thing to do. And like you said, it's just the right thing to do, so I'm going to do it. And maybe, just maybe, I have to remind myself multiple times that I did forgive that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just have to keep, you know, just until I get it all the way. Like, you know what? But again, it comes, for me, it comes down to this. Whoever's been forgiven much needs to forgive much.
Yeah.
And if we really take inventory of our lives, we have been forgiven of things that we really didn't deserve to be forgiven of.
Absolutely.
And so we have to extend the same. And again, all this came up because I know there's going to, so many people are being so offensive right now. And just, again, I'm not talking about taking a stand. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying in the way they take the stand, they can be offensive. And we can be offended, then we can be offensive. So there's going to come a moment where forgiveness is going to be necessary.
Yeah.
And I just want you to be ready for it, because it is about building greatness in men. And I want everyone listening here to be great. I don't want you to be tethered. I don't want your potential to be tethered to a past event. It's just, you're not going to fulfill everything you've been put on this earth to fulfill. You're not going to be the father, the husband, the single guy, the businessman. You're just not going to be the full potential person that you can be when you let forgiveness poison you.
Yeah, we got to remember, man, sometime that we can take our right to speak and push it way outside of the banks of the safety of the banks that it's supposed to be in. Because, you know, you could look at me right now and go, Hey, stupid, I told you that we've been trying to close the show for the last 15 minutes. I mean, it's ridiculous, and we have other things. That, like, you could say something that you could rightly say in a strategic way to be as offensive as you could to try and encourage offense, or you could look and go, man, we got to get out of here, brother. I mean, and that's just a simple example, but we hold some responsibility ourselves.
Sure.
We can't control everybody else's offenses, but sometimes we can do things and say things and behave in ways that are intentionally offensive, and we create these chasms in life, man, and we create separation from ourselves, and we wonder why we're lonesome.
Yep.
You know, so I'm just saying.
Well, look, as we close, just remember, I want you to do this exercise is pretty important. Just write down the top 10 offenses in your life and just look at it. I mean, 10 of them, not 9, not 7, 10. And if you can go more than 10, then do it, but at least minimum 10. And look at those and really ask the difficult question to yourself. And it's not whether they deserved to be forgiven. That is not in the equation. It's you forgive because it's the right thing to do. Right. And even if I know we've done this exercise, well, so-and-so has passed away. Okay. Well, great. You know, you were mad at him. He did something. Maybe your dad. Okay. Sit down and write a letter and tell him you forgive him and why. And say, this is what you did to me, but forgive him. And then throw it away. But the point is you've got to act on, because forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an action. Feeling is a choice. I choose to forgive. I'm not made to forgive. And then lastly, realize that unforgiveness keeps you in captivity and keeps you tethered to an event that happened in your past, and it frustrates you because you want to move forward into your future and you just can't. Do you have something lastly? Because I've been trying to close this out.
I know. And just maybe a word of advice on putting the list of 10 things together. Maybe you could put the word trauma in there. That'll help trigger some other things.
Yeah, that's good.
Things that left you wounded and bleeding. And then the lastly is just, again, a piece of advice from a great description that JT gave today. The next time you think in your head, hey, I'm offended, or somebody looks at you and says, hey, I'm offended, think about what the original context of that word was, being looking at some bait, taking the bait, and getting trapped in a snare. And maybe it'll give you some grace and mercy towards that person's condition because you realize that they're caught in a freaking bear trap. And maybe it'll give you some pause to continue to proclaim that you're offended when you realize that you are hovering over that bear trap, about to hit that plate and get trapped into that bear trap. Well, that's a good exercise. The 10 traumas, the 10 offenses in life is good.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, this is important, because this is one of the tools of building great men. So thanks, Anthony. Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's great, man.
Gentlemen, let's get to work.
All right.
Renovating Masculinity is hosted by Chris Terrell, Anthony Flemons, and JT McCraw. If you want to get your hands dirty rethinking, removing, and replacing habits that keep us from becoming renovated men, join our highly engaged private Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/renovatingmasculinity. You can also find us online at renovatingmasculinity.com and on socials at renovatingmasculinity.